Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Midnight, straight up, here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lou Gower. Lugie! It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019, the final hour. Emmanuel Babari comes your way at 1 a.m. Home run derby tonight. Jordan Walker, the Cardinals, defeated Kyle Schwarber in the final round, which is really karma for Philly fans because they were booing all the participants not wearing Philly uniforms. And when the Philly fans were leaving the stadium, I didn't hear a lot of noise because their sort of hometown hero and Kyle Schwarber lost in the finals. And oh, by the way, Bryce Harper had a poor showing, so the Philly fans, which really, let's be honest, they were rendered a non-sports town by the Knicks when their fans abandoned their basketball team, and now all of a sudden they want to act like they're this big, tough sports town, and they want to boo the participants in the home run derby, and then they got, at the end, what they deserve there, which is karma, which is Kyle Schwarber losing in the finals. 888-808-1019. Of course, the All-Star game is tomorrow. Hopefully the National League can win that one. I'm always going to be a National League guy as a Met fan. Speaking of the All-Star game, there is a picture floating around the internet of Juan Soto, Cody Bellinger, Cam Schlittler, and Ben Rice. And the reaction to it is what you would imagine it would be. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, let's head out to Jamaica. Moose joins us here on After Hours. What's up, Moose?
What's going on, Louie? How are you?
What's happening?
So first things first, to refer Austin Powers and not mention Will Ferrell's famous line as acting the accomplice to his villain in the movie, even though I didn't see them.
Yeah.
My name is Mustafa Yibin Billy. Because my name is Mustafa, of course, so, you know, that claim to fame. But that's not the reason why I called. I wanted to ask you, you've been watching more Mets than I have. Mm-hmm. You know, the players they have, how well they've been performing this year. So what player on the Mets would get the greatest return of those that are suspected, you know, that are readily being made available
to
shop around?
Correct. Not a Juan Soto or something like that. I think it's I think it's Luke Weaver. I think he's going to get the biggest return because he's been an elite reliever. He could be a closer for a team. And if you go around baseball, there aren't many, even the great teams, like they have question marks in their bullpen. And you're having the season that Luke Weaver's having, you can get a very pretty penny for him.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, but it's also a double-edged sword because if you're the Mets, there's an argument to keep him. So that's going to be one of those things where, for the sake of this conversation, it's going to be, I think, a tougher decision than most would imagine it would be because Weaver can be an effective part of this team going forward. But he's also a major trade piece.
But that begs the question, how close are the Mets to the ultimate goal of becoming the Dodgers in the NL East, being perennial contenders?
Yeah, I mean, look, that could happen.
The farm system that can supply either young talent that performs on the major league level, or they just get reinvested into veteran talent for trades.
Yeah, I always like the combination of that. I think you have a great farm system for two reasons. One, to create players on your team, and then also to create players that you would trade away for players to acquire to your team. So I think it serves as sort of two purposes there. I think the Mets are a lot closer than people think, and I like a lot about this core with McLean, with Scott, with Thornton, with Soto, of course, with Benj, with Ewing. I think there's a lot to like.
But that begs the question. This is what I'll close with, and I'll end my call with this.
Yeah.
With Schuble being a free agent, and we know he's top tier, the best in the game at what he does, if David Stearns is willing to give him depending on the labor, 5 to 6 year agreement for free agents, is he going to give him multiple years whatever you want to call it, whether it be 7 or 10 or 5 or 6.
Yes.
That will he do that? Because like that's not his playing card.
Yeah, but they did it with Soto. They were going to do it with Yamamoto. He just went to the Dodgers. I do think in this spot, even though you are correct across the board for the most part, I should say, David Stearns is not willing to give pitchers long-term contracts, but they were willing to do it with Yamamoto, and Scooble is not your everyday run-of-the-mill starting pitcher. We're talking about, on any given day, the best starting pitcher in all of baseball. He's a game changer. He is somebody that you should invest a lot of years and a lot of money in, and he's going to be the top free agent this offseason. And every team that can afford him, now we'll see what goes on with the collective bargaining agreement, the new CBA, but I expect more of a salary floor than a salary cap. So whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the Mets, whether it's the Dodgers, whether it's the Phillies, teams that like to spend a lot of money, Toronto, they're all going to be interested in the services of Scooble. He's going to be the big fish. He's going to be the big prize. Where he decides is ultimately going to be up to what Scooble thinks is best for his career. But I think the Mets are going to do everything in their power to bring him in. And that's, to me, the top two guys I'm thinking about in the offseason are Alex Cora's manager and then Scooble to be the horse, the lead of the rotation for the Mets, which I hope includes Clay Holmes as well. And then obviously the young pitchers in McClain and Scott and Tong and Thornton, etc. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It's Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Omar's in Huntington. What's going on? Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, Tommy.
Hey.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, Tommy? Long time listener, first time caller.
Appreciate you.
Question. What is the likelihood of Yankees getting Mason Miller as a trade before the deadline?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it's like great, but obviously, much like a Hunter Goodman, if he becomes available, Mason Miller, you jump all over it and you trade whatever you can because that's a difference maker. And I know you already have Bednar, but Mason Miller is arguably the best closer in all of baseball. And there were rumblings, at least in the offseason, that the Dodgers were looking to move on from certain players. Now, Mason Miller's under control for a lot of years, which makes him not only valuable to, say, the Yankees, but it also makes him valuable to the Padres because you're talking about an elite closer that has years left on his deal. But I think when it comes to the Padres, there could be multiple guys on the move. Miller might be available, might. If he becomes available, you go out and grab him. But I wouldn't put the percentage very high that the Yankees will ultimately end up getting him because, you know, gun to my head, I don't think he's going to be moved.
Okay. Oh, sounds good. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
But I understand the want for him. You know, I went through my do's and don't list last night with the Yankees, and I'll go through them again here a little bit quicker. My do's are Luis Arraez, doesn't strike out, hits for a high average. My don'ts are Mike Trout, terrible contract, aging player, injured often, very similar to Stanton, not somebody that I want to bring in because you're going to get Stanton off the books soon. I wouldn't want to add a Mike Trout. Mike Trout also may not waive the no-trade clause, so it, in all likelihood, is a pipe dream anyway, but a dream nevertheless, and a dream that the Yankees should go nowhere near. Hunter Goodman, for me, is a do if you're the Yankees, along with Luis Arraez, because Hunter Goodman is a big-time power hitter, right-handed catcher. It makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. A don't is Scooble. The Yankee rotation is already extremely strong. You have Schlittler. You have Fried coming back in a couple weeks, probably by the end of the month. Gerrit Cole as your third starter. If you can't get to the World Series or ultimately win a championship with Schlittler, Fried, and Cole, then what are we even doing here? I mean, you're not going to need a Scooble, I think, to get you over the hump. Plus, I'd rather use those resources that it would take to get Scooble, which is going to be a lot of resources. I'd rather use them to get a third baseman, a catcher, and multiple relievers, which is my final do on the list, and that is relievers. The Yankees need reliever help. And my don't would be staying put, which I don't think is going to happen, but this idea of, well, Austin Wells is turning it around. Ryan McMahon, we're confident in him. Volpe's been having good at-bats. I'm getting into my Aaron Boone speak here. And Cashman would be like this, too. Oh, we're getting Aaron Judge back. That's like a trade. We're getting Stanton back. That's like a trade. We're getting Max Fried back. That's like a trade. That would not be wise. Granted, getting those three players back is going to be a huge help, but it's not going to solve the catcher position. It's not going to solve, I think, the third base position. It's not going to solve the reliever situation that is hampering the Yankees.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Realfacts 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Realfacts 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Let's head out to Philip in Washington Heights here on After Hours. Philip, what's going on?
Yeah. Hey, Tommy, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, I love this show, Tommy. I just want to pick up a couple of trade acquisitions for the Yankees to target.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees need a shortstop. I'm sorry. I don't trust Jose Cabrera. I think we should maybe target Jeremy Peña from the Astros.
Yeah, that's a good name, and I like him a lot. Now, he's hurt a couple times this year. He's been on the IL, off injured this year, but he's another guy, high average, which would help the Yankees. Now, it's interesting. Brian Cashman has had a lot of bad things to say about the Astros for years, so it wouldn't be... Look, you'd want to not be spiteful, but I'm curious if the Astros would just tell Brian Cashman, hey, go call somebody else. We're not going to do business with you. But if he offers them the best deal and the Astros are interested in moving Peña, yes, I like him a lot. Now, it's funny that you bring up shortstop because I think Caballero is the best option over Volpe, but I agree with you in the sense that, yes, you could still make an upgrade over both of them. I don't think Caballero is the magic elixir. I just think he's a better option than Volpe.
I think you could put Volpe even in the deal, and you could you could hit Jeremy Peña leadoff.
Yep.
Have Wright 2, Judge 3, Bellinger 4, Stanton 5, Chisholm 6. The lineup's looking good when everyone's healthy.
No, I like that a lot. I think whether it's Peña or I've thrown out Luis Arraez, I want to bring in guys that hit for
a high average. Yeah, but Arraez, I mean, he started fielding well, but doesn't hit any homers, doesn't run well.
No, he doesn't the thing about Luis Arraez, Philip, and I appreciate the call, Luis Arraez only does two things well. But the two things he does well, the Yankees don't do well, and that is hit for a high average, and he doesn't strike out. And the Yankees are now bottom five or top five, depending on the way you look at it, but they strike out a lot. And if you're in the top five of a team offensively that strikes out, you do not win the World Series. History has shown us that. So the Yankees are going to have to cut down on the strikeouts. Now, there's only so much they can do, but by bringing in a guy like Luis Arraez who never strikes out, and Peña doesn't strike out a lot either. He struck out under 100 times last year in about 500 at-bats, which for modern-day baseball is good. He also hit 304, Peña. So he's high average, doesn't strike out. I like him a lot. And like I said, it'd be interesting to see if the Astros would do business with Brian Cashman and the Yankees, because Brian Cashman, literally anytime he turns on a microphone, he has something to say about Houston. So they might go the spiteful route, but at the same time, the Astros are running a business, and if they feel like they want to move on from Peña, and if they want to trade some of the pieces that they have in what has been a disappointing year for Houston, and they've had injuries, and that division's horrible. That's the other part of this, too. When we talk about the deadline, because we're going to talk about Skubal a lot, we're going to talk about Peña, even with Houston, you got to remember, the Astros are 4 games back in the loss column. Now, Houston's not good. It's just that the division stinks. There's only one team over 500 in the American League West. Tigers, they scuffled a little bit over the weekend against Philly, but same kind of thing. They're only 7 back. So if they get off to a nice start in the second half and either Chicago or Cleveland slips a little bit, all of a sudden Detroit can gain some ground and maybe perhaps they won't trade Skubal. So we could sit here, like some teams are obvious. Like the Giants are obvious. They're going to sell pieces. So you're going to hear a lot about Devers. You're going to hear a lot about Arraez, Adames. Names from the Giants make sense because they are 14 games under 500. They're not going anywhere, and they're going to trade off pieces. And the National League is so strong that it puts San Francisco completely and utterly behind the eight ball. Where in the American League, I mean, there's almost no record besides Anaheim and Kansas City that you could have where you would feel like I'm out of it. It's wide open because of the mediocrity of the entire league. I mean, don't look now, but the Red Sox have won 9 out of their last... They're 9-1 in their last 10, and they're 2 games under 500. So a team like the Red Sox that could have been sellers a month ago, now they might be buyers. And I told you, I've been waiting for that team that I could say, hey, they would be formidable for the Yankees in October, because I don't buy any team from the Central. I say this half-jokingly, but if the American League Central combined and made it and turned into one team, I still think the Yankees would eliminate that team in October. The Rangers suck. The Mariners, here's the thing with Seattle. They keep hitting the snooze button. It's sleepless in Seattle. They are completely and utterly underperforming and underperformers in this first half of the year. And I also don't trust Seattle because they have a loser franchise. They have not won a World Series. They've never even been to one. And that is a major, major, major hurdle to climb. And when you have the Yankees staring at you in a postseason matchup and you have the history that Seattle has, the bad history, and I understand they beat them back in the day, but I'm talking about now. I wouldn't trust Seattle. Now, if you're a Yankee fan, you don't care about that, but I'm just trying to show you the opposing side of it. Boston could be a team. I thought maybe Toronto, but Boston could be that type of team. And obviously, Boston just swept the Yankees four straight in Beantown not too long ago. But things can change on a dime. We still have a long way to go before August 3rd. There's a long way to go before the trade deadline. And a lot of things can change, where teams that feel like sellers could become buyers, teams that feel like buyers can become sellers, or a team that maybe is in between buying and selling, they end up just staying put. I'm going to stay. They just might end up, I also like to live dangerously. They could end up staying. So outside of a couple of teams that we know will ultimately be sellers, but even Colorado, okay, they're going to be sellers, so to speak, but their best piece to sell is Hunter Goodman, which obviously would be a tremendous, tremendous acquisition for Brian Cashman and the Yankees. I mean, he checks every box that they need. You need a power-hitting, right-handed bat at the catcher position. He is that and then some. 31 home runs last year, 27 home runs at the break. He is a tremendous talent. But if you're Colorado, you're rebuilding, you're better than you've been, but you're still not very good. Goodman, you would imagine, would be a centerpiece of this team. However, if the Yankees are able to put together a package that the Rockies would look at as saying, hey, we could get three or four players for Goodman, it might be worth it on our end to do this. As much as Hunter Goodman has been a major producer for us and would be a major producer because he's 26, 27 years old, he's still young, not even in the prime really of his career, why would we just send them off to the Yankees? Well, you would do that because the Yankees trade offer is beneficial to Colorado to the point where they can't pass on it. And that's why I wouldn't load up and trade for Skubal. I wouldn't do that. I'd much rather do it for Devers, or I'd much rather do it for Hunter Goodman. Devers is going to gain a lot of momentum and steam here. And I know McMonagle's brought it up, Marash has brought it up. I haven't talked about him a lot. I've talked more about Goodman. I've talked about more Arise. I've talked about not trading for Trout and Skubal. I've talked about trading for relievers. I haven't really gone down the route of Devers yet. But, and I know it ended poorly in Boston, and I can understand perhaps not wanting to bring that around your team. And I don't know which version of Rafael Devers you're going to get. But we're also talking about one of, when he's on his game, one of the best players in the sport. He does strike out a ton, struck out almost 200 times last year. So you would be adding that to what is already a tough spot when it comes to strikeouts with the Yankees. In a tough scene, because they strike out so much. But I would be... Devers is an interesting guy as far as acquiring him. And if the Red Sox, could you imagine the Red Sox trading for him? The Red Sox are now on the move. They're making their move now. Like I look at Boston as a team that is going to make noise in the second half, and I think they will be buyers. So with the Red Sox starting to play better baseball, and I would imagine Tampa's going to continue playing baseball, but with Boston playing the way they've been playing, and I think that will carry over into the second half, the idea of bringing in Devers, the former Red Sox, maybe a chip on his shoulder to sort of stick it to the Red Sox by being a Yankee and winning a championship with the Yankees and maybe even seeing Boston down the line in October, that would be something that might be too good to pass on if you're the Yankees. So I would put Rafael Devers in my dues, because I have this do's and don't list for the Yankees. I would add Devers to the do's list to go along with Arise, Goodman, and relievers. Because I don't think the Yankees could... I mean, they went for three last year, Bird, Duvall, and Bednar. I think they're kind of in the same boat this year the Yankees are and Brian Cashman is, as far as I think they need multiple relievers, not just one, two to three to bring in here. And that's kind of where my mindset would be at. And I'm obviously going with the assumption that Aaron Judge is going to be back healthy. My original target date for him to return, for Aaron Judge to get back into the lineup, was mid-August. Now, he's going, Aaron Judge's, for imaging this week. Based on the comments Brian Cashman made last week, I don't think we're going to get overly optimistic news this week on Judge, but I also don't think we're going to get overly negative gloom and doom news on Aaron Judge either. I think it's going to fall more in the middle when it comes to Aaron Judge and the news that we get on his injury. He's not going to be fully cleared, but it's not going to be, hey, he shut down, he's done for the year. And based on the timeline of mid-August and when this imaging is being done here in mid-July, it just doesn't line up for him to return when I originally thought he would. So I'm going to move the target date to early September, which is still good enough. I mean, if you could get Aaron Judge back with a month of baseball games under his belt before October, you'd sign for it, especially when you consider what was on the table, when you consider thoracic outlet syndrome could have been a possible scenario here, which would have meant that Judge would have been out for the year. If you only lose Judge for a couple of months, regular season, we know it's a postseason team, it's all about October with the Yankees. I still think early September would be a good scenario for the Yankees. And then obviously you get Fried back in a couple of weeks. As far as Stanton goes, listen, your guess is as good as mine. He always goes on these summer sabbaticals, Stanton does, just like the rest of us. He goes on vacation in the summer. But now it's just such a, it's a new calf injury, the same area, the timetable, setbacks, it's just... it's murky. I think it's even murkier with Stanton than it is with Judge, to be honest with you. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Judge is back before Stanton. I still expect both of them back by October, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Judge is back before Stanton. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But I do think ultimately Judge, Stanton, and Fried will be back with the Yankees before postseason baseball arrives. And yes, the Yankees will be playing in October, even if those players continue to miss a bunch of time. And you couple the returns that the Yankees are going to get with Fried, Judge, and Stanton with the additions that they're going to make at the deadline, especially if it's a player of the caliber of Rafael Devers, which is, that would be the big swing, big splash, rock the foundation, just... we're going to win the championship. That is, if Devers gets traded to the Yankees, that is where you are going to get the, and I don't blame you. I'd be the same way. You're going to get the hyperbolic opinions, reaction that the Yankees are going to win the championship because Devers can be a game changer. The only negative, well, there's a couple, but the big one, the glaring one, certainly on the field, is the strikeouts. So he's another strikeout guy that you're adding to the lineup, which is already a major problem. This is why I think it needs to be offset at some point with guys that make contact. So whether it's Pena, Jeremy Pena from the Astros, whether it's Luis Arraez from the Giants, Brian Cashman needs to bring in an infielder in addition to whether it's Devers or a catcher. They need guys that can make some contact, hit for some high average, and set the table for all these power hitters. Because otherwise, it's too many guys that are all or nothing. And that's not going to do you any good, especially when you get to the postseason where the weather gets colder, so the ball doesn't fly over the fence as much, and the pitching stiffens up. It's tougher competition night in and night out. So you're not going to be able to feast on the Nationals' bullpen. You're going to face tougher pitching. which has been a problem for the Yankees in this run with Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge at times in October. When the pitching gets tougher, they don't hit as consistent. When I see a guy like Arise and Pena, when you hit 300 in Major League Baseball, you can hit tough pitching. It's impossible to hit 300 and not be able to hit tough pitching. So I'm all for the big swing in Devers. I'm not for a big swing in Skubal. I'm not for if you even want to call it a big swing anymore with Mike Trout, I would go nowhere near that. It's in all likelihood he's not waving the no trade anyway, but I wouldn't do it if he did. But you also need to add guys like at the catcher situation. Like I said, Hunter Goodman is maybe it's pie in the sky, but I'll go pie in the sky until Colorado comes out and says we're not moving him. If they say that, then we can move on. But I will say Hunter Goodman until we know that Goodman is not on the table. Even with all that, though, I need some contact hitters here. I need guys that put the ball in play, don't strike out, and can change the dynamic of this lineup. Because this lineup is built for the 162. It's not built for October. It's built for 162. It's built to win a lot of games. It's built to hit home runs. It's built to bully teams around, which that's exactly what happened over the weekend. The Yankees bullied a bad bullpen. Great. And I mean that. Great. Like, it got you three wins. It kept you on pace with Tampa. Awesome. But you're going to need more in October, meaning you're going to need more from different angles as far as, hey, this team is not all or nothing. It's they could actually make contact. They could hit tough pitching. They could set the table for Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, doesn't, especially coming off an injury where it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get going. You don't want to just create this entire whirlwind of pressure on the shoulders of Aaron Judge to deliver, because there's multiple guys on this team that have October demons that they have to exercise. Max Fried, Bellinger, Judge, Aaron Boone. And I want to bring in guys that can help ease things, make things a little bit easier for this team to ultimately reach their goal, which is winning the World Series. And getting to the World Series, I think the Yankees could do that with the current roster, to be honest with you. Even without getting anybody back, I think they can get there. I don't buy the American League Central at all. The West is horrible. And Tampa's good. They're not great. We'll see what Boston does. Maybe they become buyers. Maybe they're red hot. Maybe they just go on a complete tear in the second half, which I kind of get the sense that they might. And then we could have a different conversation. But as far as the current landscape, the teams that are in October, that if the season ended today, would be in the postseason, I don't see the team that's stopping the Yankees. I don't. Now, it'll be tough to go to Tampa if they have home field advantage. It'll be tougher. But I still don't view it as a roadblock for the Yankees. I don't view it as a roadblock. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. It is after hours. If you're on hold right now, we'll get to you. Got one more segment before Emmanuel Babari comes your way at 1 a.m. So Yankees, Mets, we are at the All-Star break. You want to mix in a little football, we will as well. There's plenty to do, plenty of time to do it. Like I said, take your calls in addition to that at 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugan the Late Night here on The Fan.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
1233! Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Final segment of the night. Emmanuel Babari comes your way at 1 a.m. Programming note, I will be with you the rest of the week here, 7 p.m. till midnight. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. We'll do a full segment of Ask Tommy Anything. We will do a Settle the Debate. These are two segments that we did a lot in the early stages of After Hours, but because of sports, Yankee games, the Knicks championship run, of course, it has created a scenario where we didn't really have the time to do that and give it the necessary TLC that those segments deserve. But now, slowest week of the sports calendar, all this real estate, 5-hour shows every night, 7 to midnight, thought it was the perfect opportunity to bring both of those back. So tomorrow we'll do an Ask Tommy Anything, then the following day we will do a Settle the Debate. That's the working plan right now. Maybe it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, but it'll be sometime this week, and you'll know. Just tune in, and I'll let you know what hour we're going to do it and which day we're going to do it. But both will be coming up this week. Rosenberg, as useless as he is, Paulie Rosenberg will be back with me tomorrow for the first time in what feels like months. He's got a lot to answer for. He better have my cosmic brownies. He better have brought me something back from Disney. And he better have answers to the questions that I have for him. And if you're just tuning in, Paul Rosenberg had one job today as the producer of the show, even though he wasn't technically producing the show. He's always the producer of the show. Now, if he's on vacation, that's fine. But he was here today. He was just producing a different show. I needed him to set up Netflix on one of our televisions. I needed that to be done because he's the only person here, believe it or not, that knows how to do it. And he was in earlier today, and he didn't do it. And I texted him, and I said, now, granted, I texted him later at night, but still, you should know I'm here at night. I need to watch Netflix. I need to watch the Home Run Derby. You would think as the producer, he would have either set it up or I'd given the instructions to Nick Papagiorgio, who was here, in order to put it on television so I could watch it and I could react to it. Paul did not do that. And then when I texted him, hey, why didn't you do it? He gave me a snarky response. I'm not a mind reader. Okay. You're not a mind reader. Okay. Well, we're going to find out what talents you do have tomorrow, because I'm going to put you on trial here, basically, because I'm fed up with you. I'm just aggravated with you, and there's just a lot of things that you need to address for this after-hour audience, including why you basically abandoned them for the last 4 weeks. I mean, people tune in for our interactions. They, believe it or not, like our interactions. Now, I carry the interactions. Without me, there would be no interactions. They wouldn't be funny. They wouldn't be entertaining, but you do play a small role in that. And I do think you are irreplaceable from that perspective. But you decided to be a big shot and go slagging around Disney for 6 straight weeks with your lady friend, and you're not here. And we're going to find out exactly what went down. And there's just a bunch of other things, just a little bit of house cleaning that we need to do with Paul Rosenberg. And we'll do that tomorrow between 7 and 12. So we have plenty of time to do it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Home Run Derby tonight, I wasn't able to listen to it on Netflix because, now, by the way, we eventually were able to figure out Netflix, not because of Paul Rosenberg, but because of Nick Papagiorgio, so I appreciate that, but I wasn't able to listen to it. I did see some things on social media about Will Ferrell and somehow the performances there were, I don't know, they just seemed like there were too many voices, maybe it wasn't the funniest to broadcast, I don't know, I can't speak to that, I didn't watch it, meaning I didn't hear it, I was watching it, I didn't listen to it. I do know while watching it, there were no graphics for the leaderboard, so it was hard to follow along. So I, at times, was having difficulty figuring out who was doing well in the Home Run Derby. Yeah, basically, I had to write it down. Evan would have loved this Home Run Derby because you could score the Home Run Derby and then refer to your scorebook to see who was in the lead because they didn't have a score bug or a scroll or a leaderboard graphic, which I thought was a misstep. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. I do believe that sports karma is a thing. And I do believe that the Phillies and their fans suffered some sports karma tonight. We'll get into that in just 1 second. But first, Sean is in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Luke? Good to chat with you once again.
You too. What's happening?
I'm doing all right. So I thought the Home Run Derby was actually pretty nice, not... Quite honestly, I know Ben Rice didn't have the best showing, which was, it happens.
Yep. Like those first time in the competition, so there's probably some nerves.
Yeah, I mean, I know I could be, I know what that would feel like sometimes, like being into a big moment. I remember one.
Yeah, his father's pitching to him, which I'm sure there were nerves on both ends. I'm sure his father was nervous. I'm sure Ben was nervous, and I think it showed in the results. He only hit 7 home runs, which I think was the worst of everybody in the first round, but Ben Rice's season that he's been putting up really doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody, but you could understand the nerves there as far as being the first time in the competition and doing that with your father, with him pitching to you. But I think the moment and that time together, having that sort of stage, that was enough. He didn't have to hit 40 home runs or win the whole thing. Just the fact that father and son got to do that was more than enough, I would imagine.
Yeah, that is definitely agreeable. That's really something that you can remember for... life throughout. You can even tell your grandkids about too. Correct. Better.
Yep. 100%.
So and then I know tomorrow you said Rosenberg's gonna come back.
Yes.
And I gotta say this. if he does forget those cosmic brownies for you, I'll just do any. I'll just like go on. I won't go crazy on him on social media, but I'll just give a little fun rant.
Well, listen, I've been asking for those cosmic brownies for months. For months. I'm not asking for buried treasure. I'm asking for brownies. And the fact that he has been unable to acquire said brownies, to me, is absolutely outrageous. He's always got an excuse for it. He's always got a reason why he doesn't have them. And it's gotten to the point now where, really just out of principle, I want him to bring it in. And if you remember, Sean, I told him to bring me something back from Disney. Now, we're going to find out if he did. He didn't contact me at all during his vacation, so I wasn't asked if I want this, I want that. So maybe he's looking to surprise me, but he owes me something from Disney. He owes me cosmic brownies, and he owes me a ton of explanations, and we're going to find that out tomorrow if he's got any of those things.
Yeah, I hope he does, too, and I'll definitely be a witness to that, for sure. Yeah.
And if he doesn't, go after him on social media. He deserves it.
Oh, I will. I will. I definitely will. I think I follow him on social media.
You got to hold him accountable, Sean. He needs accountability, buddy. That's what he needs. He needs an accountability, buddy.
Hey, I agree. At least you're one. I hope to be like mutual with you on social media. I already know I am with Syntron.
You hope to be what with me now on social media, Sean?
Mutual.
I got to follow you. I got you. Yeah. Just hit me up one time and say follow me, and we'll take care of things.
Yeah, I got you, brother. No worries. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, and then I've had those cosmic browns before. They're actually delicious.
Yeah, I had them all the time as a kid. I haven't had them in forever, and I've just been kind of jonesing for it. I've been craving it, and that's why I need Rosenberg to deliver them to me. So we'll see. He's got tomorrow now, and I'm sure he'll come up with 16 different reasons why he couldn't buy brownies, but we'll see. We'll see.
I'll say this now. Rosenberg, if you're listening, time's ticking. You better remember those brownies.
He's not listening, because that's something a good producer would do. They'd be listening tonight because it's his first day back in a while. He'd be trying to get a feel for the show, a feel for things, but he's not listening. He's probably face down somewhere sleeping, snoring, and not doing anything to prepare for the show tomorrow. I'm just telling you that.
That's kind of like if he's got a loud snore like my father is. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he could wake up the dead when Rosenberg's snoring. He's chopping trees, that guy.
I'm like, all right. Before I go, I just want to say enjoy the All-Star game. I can't wait for the fun segment. That's going to be fun. You know, I'll definitely have a really fun Ask Tommy Anything.
Yeah, question. You definitely want to come up with an Ask Tommy Anything, and I appreciate the call, Sean. You definitely want to come up with a Settle the Debate, or an STD, as we like to call it around here. So if you have an STD, I'd like for you to share it with me. And that's coming up at some point this week. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head over to Paulie in Greenwich. What's up, Paulie?
Tommy, what's up? The Beast. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's happening?
You're going to have it Wednesday morning. It's going to the 10th floor.
Okay, so I'll be on the lookout for that. I don't have any of my regulars here, so I'll just keep an eye out for it. I'm sure the mail room will get it to my desk or something.
I also got you a pair of pants, so everything is red, white, and blue. You're going to love it.
Oh, you got me pants, too? Okay.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
So you represent the United States, America. You're the best, simply the best, and that's what you are.
Two of the greatest things in the world, America and Tommy Lugauer. You really, it's
a
match made in heaven.
Brother. You are the best. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Paulie, and I hope all is well. Paulie ordered some threads for me. This was supposed to happen a while ago, but he, unfortunately, he's all good. Everybody's happy and healthy, but he got into a little bit of a car accident. But he's good. He's good to go, as far as I know. He told me last time he was good. So I appreciate that. I'll be looking forward to it on Wednesday. Of course, I don't have my regular producers here, so I'm going to have to do the heavy lifting. I'm going to have to get it myself. I don't know. Connor, I don't know where Connor Green is. I have no idea where Connor Green is, literally. If you find Connor Green, kind of looks like the kid that's on the milk carton missing. So if you've seen Connor Green anywhere, please alert me. I'd love to know that he's okay, at least. Haven't heard from him either. And I love Connor, so I'm always going to take it a little bit easier on him because he adds a lot to the show, where Rosenberg just, I don't know what the hell Rosenberg does. He adds nothing. He adds nothing. He's in for a long night tomorrow. It's okay. I would imagine he would text me tomorrow. We'll see. But he was texting me today, and when I asked him why he didn't set up Netflix for the show tonight so I could watch the Derby, he said, and I quote, "I'm not a mind reader. I'm not a mind reader." Okay. All right. I didn't know you had to read minds to know that the host on the air would like to watch the Home Run Derby so that he can comment on it. He can give opinions on it. Speaking of the Derby, I believe in sports karma. And I believe sports karma bit the Philly fan in the ass tonight. See, last time we checked on the Philly fan, they abandoned their basketball team. And the Knicks rendered Philly a non-sports town. That's when we last left our friends down in Philadelphia. Fast forward to the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby. The Philly fans decided that they were going to boo the participants in the Home Run Derby that were not wearing Philly uniforms. And that's what Philly does. They boo Santa Claus. They boo participants in the Home Run Derby. And that gives them that bravado as fans. They are the tough town. They boo everybody. Well, they didn't boo the Knicks when the Knicks walked in there and won the series because they sold their tickets and they just didn't bother showing up. So I guess they don't really have that sort of mentality when the team is done and toast and cooked. But here in a all-star environment, a friendly environment, a situation where you shouldn't be booing anybody, you should be gracious hosts, the Philly fan decided to boo the participants not named Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. Well, the Philly fan got exactly what they deserved. They got sports karma. Bryce Harper bowed out rather quickly, went out in a whimper, quietly into the night, Bryce Harper. And then Schwarber got to the finals, had the place rocking, everybody standing up, cheering for him. And then Jordan Walker came in and silenced that crowd. So the boos you heard earlier for Jordan Walker, you didn't hear him leaving the park. It was very quiet as Philly fans left because they got a big dose of sports karma. And you could just add that to the list, which has been a very, very, very tough year for the Phillies and for the Eagles and for the 76ers. It's really just been a tough year for Philly sports. Very tough. And what happened tonight to Schwarber in the Home Run Derby and the fans that were in attendance, the Philly fans that were booing the other contestants, what they got at the end, that sports karma, just add it to the list in what has been a very, very, very difficult year for Philly fans. It's a shame. It's a shame. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is Zig in Trenton here on After Hours. What's up, Zig?
What's happening, Tommy? First, before I get to my Home Run Derby points, the Cosmic Brownies. If you had the Cosmic Brownie in your lunchbox as a kid in elementary school in the 90s, you had the top draft pick in the cafeteria. You could trade that for anything
yes.
you wanted.
Yes.
Oh, all-time snack. But I was at the Derby tonight. I was in the building. It was electric. And yeah. like you said, the karma to see their guy lose in the final. As a Knicks fan myself, who's one of the Knicks fans that always buys the tickets at in Philly for the Sixers-Knicks games, oh, it was sweet. They
yes,
were so excited, and then out of nowhere, Walker just comes and boom, four, five, six in a row, whatever it was, oh, yep. it was incredible.
Yeah, he ripped but the heart out of their fans, no doubt.
It was great. But I just want to get your thoughts. What'd you think about the new format? Going in, I was a little hesitant. I wasn't sure how it was going to be. You know, I liked it back, you know, when I went and saw Josh Hamilton in 2008
yeah.
with the 10 outs.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went to the timing for, like, you know, the last decade or so. But I kind of like this. It made it a little bit interesting. It allowed you to kind of enjoy the majesty of the home runs,
yeah.
the 400, you know, 85-foot ones. You could really enjoy it instead of them, you know, hitting it and then waiting for it to land and then they're swinging again. So I kind of liked it.
Maybe I like that, too, because you're right. It was able to, you were able to take in the moment. It wasn't a rush. There wasn't a money ball or clock or a bonus. I didn't understand the semifinals with the brackets, so that got a little bit convoluted to me. But I do like the old school feel of just, hey, you get 20 swings, and the guys
right.
with the most home runs in the top half move on.
I did like that. And the two changes I would make, like you said, about the bracket, like Schwarber hit the most in the semifinals, yet he has to come back and hit first in the finals.
Yeah, that's not
didn't
fair.
Really make much sense
nope.
to me.
Yeah.
And then the one thing I would change is that magenta ball. Like, you saw it today. There were barely any home runs hit on that magenta ball. As a baseball player myself, you're used to hitting a white ball all the time, and then they throw this two color ball at you. It's messing with you a little bit.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I'm glad you had a good time. It seemed like a beautiful weather night. And if you're not a fan of the Phillies and you're a New Yorker or New Jersey, and you got a nice night there because the Philly fan had a rough night. And what should be just a nice exhibition, you're sitting there booing the participants. I mean, really. Okay. They got their sports muscles back, I suppose. Let me address this before we leave. There is a photo circulating the internet of Juan Soto, Cam Schlittler, Cody Bellinger, and Ben Rice. The four of them, the New York All-Stars, all took a photo together, and it was posted on the internet. And the reaction that I've seen on social media, listen, I thought we were past this. I really did. I thought Yankee fans had gotten over it. I thought they had moved on, figured they'd be happy with the team that they currently have. They'd be happy with the success that they had last year getting to the ALDS. I thought that the Yankee fan had moved on from the Juan Soto situation. But all the comments that I read was Juan Soto misses the Yankees. He misses us. He misses us. When the reality is you miss him. That's it. Yankee fans miss Juan Soto, not the other way around. And you can try to drug up all the narratives and storylines that you want. You can try to create this world where Juan Soto, just because he takes a photo, and by the way, he's taking a photo with the Yankee players because it's a New York All-Star photo. Nothing more, nothing less. It's not a, hey, I miss you guys and I want to take a photo with you because I still want to be a Yankee. This is what you as Yankee fans have cooked up in your brains. I'm here to help. If nothing else, I'm here to help. These stages of Soto grief, I thought we had moved on from it. Apparently we haven't, because this is now a new chapter in that, as Yankee fans still are holding out that Juan Soto wants to be a Yankee and wants to go back to the Yankees. And a harmless, nothing photo triggers that type of response. So let's just set the record straight for the 1 billionth time. Juan Soto loves being a Met. He doesn't want to be a Yankee. He loves his teammates. He loves Queens. He loves Citi Field. He appreciated his time with the Yankees, but he decided to move on. He picked the Mets. He's a grown-up. He made a grown-up decision. And he's happy where he is. And you as Yankee fans, it's for your sake, the healthy thing to do is to move on. It's time to move on and put this to bed. And don't allow a photo to get you all in this state of mind where you feel that Juan Soto misses the Yankees. He doesn't. He loves where he's at. Juan Soto has moved on. And hopefully it's time for all Yankee fans to move on as well. So I'm going to have you for the next couple of nights here on After Hours. A lot of fun segments planned out. Ask Tommy Anything, which is your chance to ask me whatever you want. We will also do a Settle the Debate. And if you're unaware of what Settle the Debate is, it's you, the audience. You call me up with a debate. Perhaps it's something that you've had around the water cooler, if that even exists anymore, or something that takes place on social media with you and your friends, or a group chain or text with you and your friends, and there's just this debate that you guys are having, and you can't decide on a winner. There's just nobody giving up ground. You will present that debate to me, and I will do my best to settle the debate. So we like to call it STD, but if you have an STD, you can share it with us in the audience, and that is coming up later this week. In all likelihood, we'll do it. I got to see what Rosenberg does tomorrow. That's honestly the wild card here. I don't know what he's got planned or not planned or what kind of mood he's going to put me in tomorrow. So I might not be in an Ask Tommy Anything mood. I might not be in a settle the debate type mood. He might put me into such a frenzy that I can't focus enough on the show to execute those wonderful segments. And I may need just to flush out the Rosenberg situation tomorrow and take your calls and react to the All-Star game. And once we move, and hopefully have some beautiful, delicious cosmic brownies, once we move on from that Wednesday and Thursday, it might provide a better platform. And I would be in a better headspace because I'm not staring at Paul for 5 hours to where I can execute and really enjoy those segments because they're very enjoyable. The audience loves it. I love it. Upper management loves it. We all love it. They're highly rated, highly successful. So I'll let you know as we go here throughout the week when we're going to do those things. And maybe a couple of surprises along the way as well. So be on the lookout for that. My thanks to Nick Papagiorgio. My thanks to Fleegs. My thanks to all the callers, all the listeners. Very fun show. We're back at it again tomorrow. A big Lugowski. A 5-hour after hours from 7 p.m. to midnight. So we'll take you all the way through the All-Star game. Enjoy the rest of your night. And we'll talk to you later on this evening at 7 o'clock right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN New York.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!